1931 and our virtual tour brings us on to the church nestled below the Rock of Dunamace, the Rock Church, a spectacularly sighted church in the shadow of one of Ireland's great tourist attractions, going back to its days as a Celtic fort, which subsequently became a Norman stronghold. Many visitors come to Dunamace, and we hope to the church too, which has its own series of traditions, including of having regularly over the years open air worship on its rather amphitheatre like grounds in the summer with a brass band. I was there on one occasion and I hoped to replicate that tradition, but sadly was frustrated by COVID regulations and their evolution. I'd hoped to replicate that tradition by having an open air ordination there this summer, but who knows what day it'll happen again. 1931, from time to time I've referred to the world of literature, now I do so again. In that year, there was published, amongst other stories, by Frank O'Connor. And interestingly enough, Frank O'Connor was, of course, a pseudonym. And he has a son called Oliver O'Donovan, now in retirement, having been a distinguished Anglican priest and theological professor based in both Oxford and in Scotland. But Frank O'Connor published in 1931 Guests of the Nation, which became well known because of its long presence on the school curriculum. It's a probing story about two British soldiers taken captive by the IRA during the War of Independence and how they are kept hostage under a rather civilised form of house arrest in a remote farmstead, where they become great friends, Stockholm Syndrome and all that, with their captors, sharing stories, developing human warmth and empathy. But one day, unfortunately, events develop and the order comes to execute them, and this is duly done. The soldiers can't believe their hosts will turn on them. The hosts realise nauseatingly how they must steel themselves to contain their emotions and do their perverse duty. The immediate circumstances apart, it's a timeless exploration of the conflict between human empathy and political conviction, between loving the enemy and doing one's duty. It's a theme so often teased out in the literature of the Anglo-Irish struggle, and it explores, as Frank O'Connor did in the tense world of the 1930s, how one needs to harden one's heart and depersonalise the opponent, which became a fearsome theme in wider Europe of the later 1930s. It can even have a contrarily funny side. There's a cartoon in the Dublin Opinion of the time, which I love to mention to people, and again brings gallows humour to bear on an agonising theme. It shows two, as it were, IRA guerrillas during the War of Independence who are about to blow up a bridge over which a retired British officer always passes at a certain time of the day. And on the particular day when they're all waiting under the bridge to detonate the explosion, the officer fails to turn up at the normal hour and to cross the bridge. And one of the, as it were, the insurrectionists looks at his watch and says to the other of the visitor for whom they wait with the hope of bringing an end to his life, "I hope to God nothing's happened to the poor man." There's some profundity in that, actually. And it's a kind of story with similar stories I often find myself quoting in Holy Week sermons, where, and people will know I'm fascinated with the figure of Judas, where the kiss of Judas seems genuinely to involve both affection and destructive duty. And there are few of us who haven't some small sense of that terrible tightrope in the moral dilemmas of life.